You might remember eons and eons ago, i.e. this past spring, which at least was a few different government shutdown threats back, there were three notable bank failures. First Republic, Silicon Valley Bank. And as a result of that, there were a bunch of Monday morning quarterbacking reasons that came out. Interest rates were blamed, individual management teams, the ability of our connected lives to make runs on banks that much faster, and of course, the regulators were asleep at the switch. The regulators didn't like that last one in particular, so they have started to push back a bit more and wanted to be a bit more in the face of banks to figure out what's going on. In addition, we are at that cycle in an administration where what the incoming administration wanted to do is finally percolating, right? They've been doing the investigations, but now they're pushing more into that enforcement space. Troy was talking about the prior administration's effort to kind of start small, the low rung, to build up a section of rulings and consent orders and otherwise to put pressure up at the top. This administration seems to want to go back to the largest piggy banks they can and see what they can keep pulling out and pulling out and pulling out. In addition, of course, Congress can't do anything, including even decide on a speaker. As a result, the administration, to try to get wins, is looking to move on to the enforcement and the regulatory side to start building up stuff. And that's what you're seeing a bit more happening. So the quandary that is for banks and in-house counsel is, do you go along to get along, or do you push back? And Troy did a great job, so I won't go back through what the prognosticators think about the efforts to challenge the CFPB or various opinions that came out that held the CFPB's feet to the fire. But I do want to touch on some other ways that banks have tried to go, and that is leverage trade associations to challenge efforts. In particular, by way of example, in Minnesota, the Minnesota Bankers Association and a local bank have challenged an FDIC guidance as inappropriate rulemaking. During Troy's presentation, Chris asked, well, what would happen if they put this marker and MSAs can never go down? The litigator, to a hammer, everything is a nail. I see that as putting a marker in the sand so that when a plaintiff goes after a bank for a deceptive trade practice, they will say, we are entitled to treble damages because they knew or should have known that that was bad and wrong. Because that is what plaintiff's lawyers do, is they identify anything out there in the market to say, see, that was out there, you should have known. It doesn't matter that that wasn't your regulator. I'm currently representing a regional bank in Texas in an overdraft fee case. And the amount of time we spent at a deposition going through what various agencies that were not this bank's regulator had said and did was a lot. So it's generally to build up that knowledge base. And of course, the business folks in banks occasionally, like our clients, might see a headline and have a belief that something is inevitably going to happen. The CFPB will not be found to be constitutionally funded and will all fall down, and maybe that might embolden them to take a more aggressive approach. Meanwhile, in-house litigator or bank lawyers are thinking, we're going to have to deal with them on the next examination, the next time we run into something, the next time I have a question or an issue. And that can put in-house counsel in a very tough bind of wanting to do what they need to do and occasionally push back, but also to figure it out. And so that's one of the main issues that they're dealing with in the regulatory scrutiny. So what is it that regulators are largely scrutinizing? Again, Troy touched on this a little bit. We're talking a lot about fees. At a base level, if we think about this, fees are supposed to be connected to the cost to deliver a service. The administration's position, generally, in a word, is that fees are bad. They have concocted this setup around junk fees. Troy rightly said, they kind of make it up as they go along. Maybe it's arbitrary and capricious. What they say it is, it's something that any fee is designed either to confuse or deceive consumers or to take advantage of a lock-in or other forms of situational market power. One might generally think about forms of situational market power, and in any instance, an individual consumer generally has little, and the person providing the service, who is offering terms and conditions to receive that service, arguably have a lot of situational market power. Now, obviously, the alternative is that, well, the consumer could go somewhere else.